Zegt dus pas aan wie jaag wie so pilches zegt dus pas dan el shade bei schrift cho falach ul refu shleima le
Dan Zev Ben Rut.
dan zev ben rus. Okay, Rabbi say, this week's Parsha Shmini has a lot of different topics. I'd like to speak about Berak Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed Vav, which is the source of the concept of a mikvah. Source of a concept of a mikvah in the Torah. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed Vav. Ach mayan uvor mikveh mayim yeh tahor v'nogeh b'nivlosam yitmo. So the Torah says mayan and uvor mikveh mayim. So what are these two things? So a mayan is when you dig underneath the ground and you find water. That's a mayan. Mayan is coming from the water underneath the ground. And then there's another concept of bor mikveh mayim, where you have, say you dig a pit, and it rains in the pit. So now you have rainwater that's stationary rainwater. And that is another type of, that's a mikveh. Mikveh is rainwater. Mikveh is rainwater that's stationary. And one of the main issues of a mikveh a lot of times is that you could have a crack and it could be leaking. And then there's a leak. So then there's a potential problem with the mikveh because of the mikveh has to be stationary. As the post, the Rishonim say, kviya v'kaimi. A mayan, on the other hand, if the water's coming from underneath the ground, mayan, a mayan can be metaher even mezoch, even if it's moving water. But assuming that it's a mayan, but a mikveh is, so a mikveh basically, all you need to do is to dig a hole in the ground, a big hole that's our Arbaim saw, and then a person will be tovel in that water, and the water will be full from rainwater. The water will be full from rainwater, and it has to be rainwater. It has to be water that is not in, did not come into a kli. Because once it was in a kli, so then what happens? Then it's called Mayim She'uvim. And that's why the general assumption today is that tap water, right? You just turn water from the faucet. Tap water is not good. Because since the tap water was in a what? In a different types of water meter, and things like that, which presumably are kalim, different pipes, different water meters, etc. So that would not be good. That's the general assumption that we have today, that we don't use tap water, because tap water is mayim she'uvim, and anything that was once in a kli is pasul for the mikveh. So therefore, we need rainwater that was not in a kli. So it's rainwater, and it's stationary. That's the bor mikveh mayim. It's rainwater, stationary, and that and wasn't in a kli. Mayim, if you use, you have a choice. You could use rainwater, or you could use mayim water. If it's mayim water, meaning it's coming from underneath the ground, so then it also can't be in a kli, but it could be, doesn't have to be stationary. An example, there are a lot of examples, but an ocean, al pi halacha, is considered a mayan. And that's why, you know, you have this issue, so, you know, where people I just got a phone call just this morning as I was eating breakfast about people who are going on vacation and things like that, and they're so it's always obviously better to schedule vacations not around the time where unless you're going to regular community, you go to where they have mikvahs, but there are places all people go these days to vacations all over the world, and they're not always a mikvah available, and then things become very very difficult. So one possibility is going in the ocean, because an ocean is considered a mayim, and therefore that would be metayer. Okay, now, so it's very simple at first glance. In other words, a person digs a hole in the ground and makes their mikveh, and it's rainwater, right? Either again, we said the Torah tells us there are two options: the mayim water, or the bor mikveh mayim, which is the rainwater. And if it's rainwater, it has to be stationary. If it's mayim water, it even if it's not stationary. So, but the problem is like this. This is the problem that comes up in practical life. And that is, if you're going to have a pit of rainwater, and you're gonna have people tovel in that pit of rainwater. So after a while, it's gonna be dirty. It's gonna be gross, and then the women are not gonna be too happy to go there. You see, when you have a kelim mikveh, you have to realize that a kelim mikveh has the same halachic, Shef always points out, the same halachic requirements as a mikveh for a human being. The same halacha, it has to be rainwater or mayim water, either way. But the thing with kelim, in other words, don't think that kelim, just let me get this clear. We have a concept called a men's mikveh. What is it? Now, a men's mikveh doesn't mean, so a men's mikveh sometimes just means that you have tap water. And men go into that, and that's not for the that's for the purpose of Takanas Ezra, that Ezra made a takana that a man should not daven or learn if he had if semen came out of him. So after he had intercourse, he wouldn't be able to learn or daven if he doesn't go to the mikveh, but that could be not a regular mitzvah because it's only Takanas Ezra. It's not a Din D'oraisa. And Bizman HaZeh, we assume Takanas Ezra was nisbatel, that it wasn't accepted now. So therefore, so if you're a chassid and you still want to be machmir, so then they go to you go to a mikveh. But that mikveh could be a different standard of a mikveh. That's a men's mikveh. It could be from tap water, and even if it's and even if they can't even do that, they could just take a shower and stand under the water for a certain amount of time, and that would be also sufficient to be yotzei that kind of says. But when a woman is going to the mikveh for nida, or you buy utensils from a non-Jew, that has to be a regular kosher mikveh. So it either can be rainwater or what? Or mayim. Oh, so the thing is like this, as we said before, this system with rainwater just has a problem from the perspective of the reality of a woman wanting to go into rainwater. So the first woman, the first two women, they're good. But imagine if you keep rainwater for this same mikveh for rainwater, and after a while it's going to just be disgusting, and then you're not going to have too many women that are going to be so anxious to do that. So what do we do? So you're going to say, well, drain it out and get more rainwater. Yeah, but it's not raining. If we would have tropical storms every night, then maybe we could, fill it up on a regular basis. But we don't have tropical storms every night. So if you say that, okay, we'll use this rainwater for a certain amount of time, and then what's going to happen? Oh, we're going to drain it out. So the next time you get a kosher mikveh, you're going to have to wait a chveis, wait a month or two. That's not a feasible situation. That's not a feasible situation either. So what do we do? Now, you have to realize one thing for the kalim. So last I checked, the kalim, they won't complain. The knives, the forks, they won't complain. You put them in, so it'll be okay. But the women are not like the knives and the forks. And the women will complain and not be happy. So what do we do? So the way mikvahs are built today, and of course it's very complicated, we can't do everything, but I'm going to give you a general idea. And that is, women today all are tovel in tap water. Now, how could that be? Tap water is not kosher, we said. Tap water is from the faucet. And the faucet means that it was in a water meter. And the water meter is a kli. So how does it work? So there are different ways. But one way is called hashaka, which means like this. You'd have a wall. And on one side of the wall is where the rain water is. And the other side of the wall is the tap water. And then there's a hole in the wall, has to be a certain size, and the waters meet. They meet by the hole. So on one side of the wall is the rainwater, and the other side of the wall is the tap water. And then there's a hole in the wall, and the waters meet by the, in the hole. And the halacha is that once the rainwater touches the tap water is now converted and has the status of a good mikveh, even though it was mayim shuvim. But the mayim shuvim is hukshar al yidei the hashav. The day of the Hashanah. And there's a machlokas in the poskim whether is it sufficient that it touched one time and then you could plug it up, or it has to touch at the time that the woman is in the mikveh as well. And we're machmir to, even though the mechaber says touching one time is sufficient, we're machmir to keep the hole open. We're machmir to keep the hole open during the mikveh. We're machmir to keep the hole open. And therefore, so that's how, so then what happens? The women go, and they have the rainwater, they go into the tap water, which is, and then the rainwater is on the other side, and then there's the hashaka hole in the middle, and the two waters touch. And the, when and therefore the rainwater converts the tap water into the halachic status of rainwater as well. And with this process, every day we could what? Suction out after the day is over, that you had all the women who were there that night, well, however many women there were, and then you could take suck the They have suction machines that suck out that water, dry it, and what? And fill it again with what? With new tap water. And then the rainwater will just stay there. We're not touching that rainwater. We're not touching that rainwater. And the rainwater will now do another hashaka with the next batch of tap water. And we can do this on a regular basis. And this way, we keep the mikveh clean. So so every night when a woman will be tovelis in that water, it'll be clean water that she's going into.
So, Rabbi, I have a question.
Yeah. Now, the problem. So this is called hashaka. There's another way of doing this situation, and that's called zriya, which means that instead of having the waters come in from two different directions, they have first the rainwater, and then after the rainwater is full, they put tap water on top of the rainwater. And that flows into the adjacent cavity where the women go. That's called Zriya. But Hashaka is the way that you have the waters are coming from two different directions. And the rainwater is on one side, the tap water is on the other side. And there's what? And there's a hole, there's the wall and the hole in between. And that's how you do it. And as I said, we're machmir to keep the hole open when the women are tovels. If you'll notice, when you go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, so many have the minhag to go to the mikvah for men, on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur. There are some, and Rav Soloveitchik was preferred this practice that even the men should go into a kosher mikveh because it shouldn't be just a men's mikveh. We said before there's a concept of a men's mikveh, and that means that there's mayim she'uvim, is just tap water without any hashaka, and that's good for Takanas Ezra. But as Rabbi Willick said over from Rav Soloveitchik, and others say from Rav Soloveitchik, he felt that especially for Yom Kippur, where it's Tara, we want to cleanse ourselves, that it should be a real kosher mikvah, even for men. But if you'll notice, in the men's mikvah, in the regular mikvah, rather, that will be open to men on Erev Yom Kippur, the plug will be there. They'll plug it up. Because they don't want to, because you have to realize this, that any time an individual goes into a mikvah, there's going to be displacement of water. The fact that her body is in the water, that's going to cause the tap water to go into the other one and the waters will exchange. After a while, you won't have too much real pristine rainwater anymore. Because every time somebody goes in, and if you're going to leave the hole open during the tefillah, then what? Then the waters will exchange. So therefore, when the men go, we don't want the waters to exchange. We'll just rely on the fact that there was a hashaka one time, and we'll rely on the fact that there was a hashaka one time, and that will be good. But for the women, it's a real halacha of kares, so therefore we're machmir to make sure that the hole is open. When the men go, the fact that it was at one point they touched is sufficient, and we don't want it. Now, there is already shown them that say that it's proper to have at least the rove of the water in the section of where the rainwater is to be real rainwater. and not. So the problem is, after a while, the waters, you know, are getting exchanged, right? Then how much real rainwater do you have left in a couple of months or a couple of years? So there are Rishonim that say that's not a problem, because once it touched, it's converted. So now the tap water is really rainwater also. But some Rishonim hold that you should always have a majority of pristine, real rainwater in the rainwater section. So what do we do for that? So that's why when the men go on Erev Yom Kippur, we're not going to waste the water on the men. So therefore, the plug will be plugged up when the men go. When the women go, the plug will not be there. And when they fill the mikvah, they take out the water, or probably when they filter it, like you know, Tommy said, they're going to plug it up, and then have the and do whatever they need to do, and then unplug it. But the key is you have to remember to unplug it, because if you don't remember to unplug it, so then it means that whoever went into the mikveh did go into a kosher mikveh. So that's a very big responsibility, that you need someone responsible who's going to unplug the mikveh. Because when we're emptying it out, or like we said before, when we're doing the the filtering, we're going to put the plug in, and then we're going to have the new water, either new water or filtered water, or whatever. Then we're going to take the plug out, right? But you have to remember to take the plug out, and sometimes it could happen that if they forget to take the plug out. You know, I'll tell you a story in a second. But so the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe had a new idea of how to build a mikvah. A new idea, and that was the Rebbe Rashab, and he was the fifth Rebbe, and he had a new idea. He said, instead of doing the rainwater and the tap water side by side, we're going to do it one on top of the other. We're going to put we're going to only have one cavity. And the rainwater is going to come in. Then we're going to have the floor. And the hole, well, they have two holes, will be in the floor. And then we're going to put the tap water on top of the floor. And then the hashaka is not going to be one side by side, but the hashaka is going to be one on top of the other. And this way, the rainwater will be on the bottom, the tap water will be on top, and the waters will meet one on top of the other. The advantage of this is because the tap water will be heated, because people usually go into a heated mikveh, and heat rises, the rainwater will be cold, that will be on the bottom, and there will be less distribution of the water and more opportunity for the pristine, as we said before, the chumrah of having the pristine rainwater be there. At least the majority of the water of underneath will be pristine rainwater and will stay there for much longer time, because the circulation will be less when it's one on top of the other, and the top water being hot and the bottom water being cold. So a Chabad mikvah means that they're going to do the hashaka ze al gabe ze, what's called bor al gabe bor, and that's that's how Chabad mikvahs are made. The controversy with the Chabad mikvah was that there's an opinion that says that, well, this is what we assume, that katafris, if you have water on a slope, it doesn't connect the two waters. So if you have one on top of the other, that's like a 90-degree angle. That's the biggest slope. So they said, so maybe the hashak is no good either. You're trying to do a chumrah to keep the pristine water, But you, on the other hand, you're maybe the whole hashak is no good. But the answer that most popes can say that if the water is stationary, the concept of water that's on a slope is that it's not considered connected one to the other. That's when it's moving, the water. That's when it's moving. But here it's stationary water. So that's Chabad, and many Chabad mikvahs all over the world are all made with this, and it's easier, as people have pointed out, to make a Chabad mikvah because you only need one cavity, right? Mikra and Din, and then you have one. And this way, they're able to make mikvahs all over the world for people doing it this way. There are other chumras, but that's a simple Chabad. Again, a lot of these mikvahs have extra added things, etc. But the Chabad mikvah is one cavity. That's why it's easier to build. And in many communities and far-flung places, they have that. And again, people have controversy because, but a certain Rav asked me in his community, not a far-flung place, whether he should build partially Chabad underneath. So I told him, I hold l'chadchila, a Chabad mikveh is kosher l'chadchila. But since this controversy and the general controversy, then people are going to start to cast aspersions. So if you're making a communal mikveh, and especially the yeshivishukim people in that community, so I told him not to do it that way, because then it'll just be open to machlokas, even though I think Meikra did its kosher l'chadchila. But it's very important, the upkeep of a mikveh, and it's interesting that that the it has to, as I told you before, it has to make sure that somebody is responsible who takes out the plug every, because again, when they filter, they're going to put in the plug, and when they, or the suction out, they're going to put in the plug, so that water there won't be affected. But then you have to remind yourself when you put the new water in that sometimes that could be, there are horror stories about mikvahs, about forgetting to pull out the plug. Or there was a story in Yerushalayim many years ago that in the middle of the mikvah, where women were going, the filter was running. The filter was running. And when the filter's running, some posts can hold, that's like leaking. Because it's coming out of the, the mikvah is, so that was a very, they think, someone told me, they think that a cat, in Yerushalayim, a lot of cats. So a cat pushed the button. And that caused the filter to run. And the filter was running while the... So this happened on a Friday night. And what they had to do is they had to go through all the neighborhoods in Yerushalayim with a goy and make an announcement in the loudspeaker and it's near stick away, telling every woman that went there to go back and be tovo again. Because the filter was going on during the time of the tefillah, which is not really supposed to. Maybe there could be some tayrim, whatever, but that's that was the story in Yerushalayim on Friday night, when it was a Friday night mikvah, and this occurred. Another important thing is that. There always has to be a mikvah lady there. There always has to be a mikvah lady to watch. The person is never allowed to be tovel by themselves. Because the main point, as everybody pointed out, is because if there's one strand of hair that didn't go below the water, the whole tefillah is worthless. So the main point, as everybody points out, of the mikvah lady is to make sure, not, there was mikvah checks for the chatzitzas, but as the rabbi pointed out, that's not the main point. The main point is to make sure that she was totally, totally immersed. And you need, I mean, there, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about having a net or something like that, but we should, and sometimes women want to go alone. And I tell my talmidim who are abundant, never to let them go alone. That we have to put a foot down on that. That sometimes they want their independence, they want their this, they want to go alone, and never to let them go alone, because you know, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was very machmir on this. The tshuva, never to let them go alone. So. And you know, the Behuda says, in a situation where you can't get a mikveh lady because it's not whatever, she's going in the ocean, say, or something like that. So the Behuda permits in the Shas HaTchach that the husband can be the mikveh lady and he can be the one to watch. But that's under, you know, situations of difficult situations. But general. I recently had a situation where somebody made an appointment with the mikveh lady to come, because she was going to have a Friday night mikveh. She had a Friday night mikveh, so usually Friday night, so they make appointments before. You know, it depends where you live. If you're in a community where there's many, many people, there's always going to be, but out-of-town communities, sometimes there's no one who's going that night. So they make it goes by appointment. So the mikveh lady was supposed to show up. The mikveh lady was supposed to show up, and she forgot. She forgot. So this woman who was supposed to be Tovelis, she works in the mikveh also. She knew the code to get in, and she went on her own. And then on Motzai Shabbos, I got a phone call. You know, they didn't do anything. They weren't intimate Friday night because they weren't sure whether it was the right thing or not. And but the question is, you know, she did it already. So now what? We tell her to go again? So that was a whole discussion. My gut was that maybe she should even have to go again. But a certain Rav that I discussed it with said, since... you know, she checked before, there weren't any chatzitzas, and she didn't just go one time. Women go many times. They go three, four times. That this Rav thought that she already did it. She went three, four times. So Mustama, you know, all you need is to go once. So Mustama, one of them was good, and she didn't have to go again. But that was a very rare situation. I would, you know, make sure that it should never happen, such a thing. And you know, and to tell a woman that they can, as a policy, that they can't come to the mikveh if they're not going to allow a mikveh lady, or the husband could be the mikveh lady also if need be. But obviously that's not going to work if there are other women around. But in that situation, that's a very important part of the mikveh, is there'd be somebody watching at all times.
You know, Rabbi Simon, I remember years ago, I was in the Army in Oklahoma, and the closest mikveh was Dallas. It was a different world then, and there weren't too many women using the mikveh. So the way, it was very rare, actually. So you got the code from the shul, and you know the day you were going, so that there'll be no one else there. And the husband was the one, there was no such thing as a mikveh lady at that time.
The husband was
in the early 70s, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the Noda Behuda's tshuva, who permits the husband, B'shas Hatchat, to be the person seeing it. But a mikveh has to have upkeep to make sure that, you know, they have, you know, there's a lot of stories, but I'll end with some divrei hashkafa. The Sefer HaChinuch says that mikveh is like Briyas Olam. It's an Aretz HaYisrael Sovavo. And then man was created and he emerged through emerged after the Tovavo. So when a person goes to the mikveh, says the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Sefer Shai Lepor explains it, he's like in the Tovavo, and then he's like a recreation. Like he's coming out like Nivra Mechadash, like it was in the. That's why the Sefer Shaila Torah points out from the Kesef Mishnah, where the Lashon Chazal is Tovol V'Ola, that the Tara is completed when you come out. If you went in and you come out, now you're a new person, and that's the idea of tshuva. That tshuva is, that the Mishnah says that. Different Rabbanim, Chasam Sofer always used to speak about that last Mishnah in Yuma. Ma mikveh b'taris at meim tach comes from b'tar eskem, because it's the idea of tshuva that a person could be created anew, so to speak. A person could be created anew, and that's what's happening in the mikveh, the Sefer Chinuch says. It's tov avo. It's like all the ocean of, there was water all over. And then man, Kadosh Baruch Hu created man, and he emerged as a new being from the, and that's what the Sefer Shaila Torah says from his father, that the Lashon Chazal and the Gemara is tovel va'ola. Because it means that the Tara is completed when you come out of the mikveh, you're considered a new creation and a new beria chadasha. Not only when it's a geiris, so then for sure that's considered a beria chadasha. But every time a person is tovel in the mikveh, that's considered a new creation, and that's why. We have the minhag even on Erev Yom Kippur, and somehow we don't do this, but some Sadigon also held, you made a bracha on the tefillah on Erev Yom Kippur. We don't do this. We don't make it's interesting, different minhagim about making brachas on things. So there was a minhag to make a bracha even though that's not usually our minhag. In Skver, I believe they have a minhag that when they bake matzahs on Erev Pesach, they say Hallel, just like they said Hallel in Bisman the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, and they say Hallel with a bracha on Erev Pesach when they're making the Erev Pesach matzahs, because that's like the Korban Pesach that was brought on Erev Pesach, and they're making a bracha b'shas the Hallel on the Korban Pesach, so too they have that minhag as well. So again, that's not necessarily our minhag. I mean, some people have the minhag to dafka make matzahs because the Or Zarua says that those are the matzahs that are really kosher, the Erev Pesach matzahs. Other people don't have time on Erev Pesach to start making matzahs on Erev Pesach. But some people, Hasidim, are very machmer, and the Skver Hasidim even make a bracha when they say Hallel with a bracha at the time of Afiyas HaMatzos on Erev Pesach. Okay, this is some idea for this week's parsha. This is the source of mikveh. This is this week's parsha, and there's a lot to say, but these are some of the highlights regarding this.